This program is brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
And welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. Concerns about eroding youth mental health were on the rise prior to the pandemic, but now signs indicate things could be getting worse for children across Wisconsin and the country. So, a month into the new school year, how are Wisconsin's children and teachers faring, and what resources and supports are necessary? Today, we talk with Linda Hall, who's director of Wisconsin's Office of Children's Mental Health. Thank you for joining us, Linda.
Thank you for having me.
How would you describe the state of children's mental health in Wisconsin today?
Well, I think it's very concerning. Children have been definitely impacted by the pandemic. As you say, the conditions that kids have been experiencing, increased levels of anxiety and depression, were on the rise for many years before. But the pandemic just put an extra overlay onto that. And the disruptions that they had in terms of connecting with peers, connecting with teachers, all of that just has weighed pretty heavily on them. And I think what, in terms of what's happening at school, is that teachers are just seeing kids coming in with just weights of sadness and trauma and things that are they really need to deal with. And everyone, I think, is recognizing we need to stop and really help our kids get through this.
Schools really did come under a lot of scrutiny throughout the pandemic as they tried to weigh those public health risks with the risk of social isolation. What do we know about any of the long-lasting impacts of the pandemic and what those decisions that schools need to make?
Well, I think we're still, in many ways, we're still waiting for the data to see what the long-lasting impacts are. I think this is something that we're going to be studying for at least the next decade to try to ferret that out. People are looking at a number of different things right now. But I think we do know that there are important things that can make a difference now. And we are especially concerned about kids' connectedness. So we are adopting as a main focus social connectedness of youth. And we're looking at different ways they need to be connected and how can we all participate in that so that we're creating the foundations for kids to feel better. And in terms of school, that what's really important is school climate and the feeling of belonging. So there are lots of ways that we can work on that, and we're advancing that with some of the stakeholders that we work with.
What do we know about the resiliency of children's mental health? Is there any research on that overall?
Well, we know that connections make a difference. We know that kids are resilient. We know that when they are informed about mental health and about the resources that are available to them, that they take advantage of them and they want to help their peers who have come to them with concerns, you know. And we know that kids talk to their friends about these kind of things often before they talk to their parents. So it's really important for us to, you know, engage in mental health literacy with young children. In fact, when we were having listening sessions during the pandemic, we had virtual listening sessions with youth, they told us we need to be talking to elementary school kids. And so we worked with the Department of Public Instruction on developing a mental health literacy curriculum that's now available for free.
We hadn't previously really thought about young children.
We had not thought about, we were thinking about high school kids, but the high school kids are telling us, no, you need to start with kindergarten. So this curriculum really helps teachers begin to introduce the words and the feelings that kids need to be able to express. That is the foundation for understanding mental health and mental illness. We know that kids are really, they're not as bothered by the stigma that's around mental illness. They're really more open to talking about it, and they want to talk about it.
What a good thing that is. We've been talking about the impact of the pandemic pandemic, so let's look at a little bit of the data mm-hmm. and how things have changed. Wisconsin's adolescent suicide rate exceeds the national rate. The Centers for Disease Control reports the rate of Wisconsin was 14.43 suicides per 100,000 in 2020. In the U.S., that rate was 13.5. The rate of suicides overall in the United States increased 4% from 2020 to 2021 after two consecutive years of decline. The largest statistically significant percentage increase from 2020 to 2021 was for males 15 to 24 by 8%. In Wisconsin, LGBT students were 2.6 times as likely to seriously consider suicide as compared to other students. And additional data from Mental Health America shows 55.1% of Wisconsin youth experiencing major depression did not receive any mental health treatment. It's about 36,000 youth. What are the main, other than the pandemic, what are the main drivers of mental health concerns for kids? And are there any specific concerns in Wisconsin that or certain indicators or stressors that are exacerbated in our state?
We know that parental stress is a big factor, and that's partly why the pandemic was so hard on kids, because their parents are more stressed about having enough money to buy food, to pay for housing. That stress tumbles down to kids, and they feel it, and they are trying to just make their way through. So that's an important issue. We know that poverty is important. That makes, you know, having the things for a family to have the things they need to support their child is really important. And so we know that things like the investments from the American Rescue Plan, the dollars that were sent to parents through child care tax credits, made a difference. Those families did better. We pulled more kids out of poverty. The dollars were spent in a way that made a difference for kids and helped them be stronger.
Are there any stressors that are specific to Wisconsin or that we look at that make Wisconsin unique?
When we compare, we do a lot of comparing Wisconsin to the national average and to other states around us. And what we see is that what you hear about the national crisis, for example, the Surgeon General has identified the youth mental health as a crisis, that the Wisconsin figures really follow that directly.
National trend. Some mm-hmm. people talk about alcohol as being a unique stressor our state.
Yeah, that is important. We in the earlier data that we have, children in Wisconsin are less likely to consider binge drinking a problem. They, when asked about is it a problem to have five drinks 7 days a week, they say no much more frequently than kids in other states. So that's an issue. And in fact, alcohol is much more of an issue in our state than drugs.
Are there any, you talked a little bit about more of a focus on mental health literacy with younger children. Any other positive outcomes from the pandemic or increased awareness that's making a difference?
Oh, yes. I think that all of us are more aware of mental health and how what's going on in our society around us in different ways, whether it's economics or social media, that those things weigh on us. And so I think there's a lot more openness to talking about this. And kids, obviously, are more open to talking about it. I think some of the demand that we have on our system for mental health treatment, especially at the post-secondary college level, the demand is huge because these young people know that they have an issue and they're seeking help. You talked a little bit before about whether kids get treatment or not. Majority of kids do not get treatment.
55%, I think it's.
Yeah, and we think it could even be higher than that. And we know that it's on average, it's 11 years till treatment from the first symptoms that are exhibited by kids. That's the most uniform statistic. That's a national statistic that we think plays out in Wisconsin.
So why is that number so high? Why 55% of youth not getting treatment?
Because we have a shortage of mental health professionals. And certainly when it comes to kids of color, in addition to the overall shortage, there are fewer therapists who understand their culture and are sensitive to the family issues and the other issues that present themselves to these kids every day. So, yeah, it's difficult. The positive is that our investments in school mental health are making a difference.
There were really unprecedented federal and state dollars throughout the pandemic to address mental health specifically.
Yes. In addition to the federal dollars that I mentioned earlier, Governor Evers put forward the Get Kids Ahead initiative that created $10,000 for every school plus an add-on for every student. And those dollars have resulted in, in many cases, over $100,000 for a school, and it goes up higher for larger school districts. We know that that in terms of student services staff that are available to kids, we don't have enough. We don't meet the national standards, but we know that the dollars that we've invested that we were put into the last biennial budget have made a difference and increased those percentages.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. According to the Department of Public Instruction, school-based mental health professionals, which include those nurses, psychologists, social workers, counselors, they're regularly the first to identify students in need of assistance, yet that ratio, as you mentioned, is not up to recognized standards. So we're looking at the screen of youth who receive mental health assistance. 80% receive their mental health services in schools. School counselors provide those essential services along with those other professionals. Recommended ratio for counselors to students is 250-1. Wisconsin is at 381 to every student. For psychologists, the recommendation is 500-1. Wisconsin is at 826. The state is more than double the recommended ratios for both social workers and nurses. Why do you think we have such a shortage in those areas?
Well, the schools are not always able to find people to fill these positions. And I think it's an issue of salary amounts that are paid to the individuals, and whether the school can hire people to work at just one school, when these people often divide their time into multiple schools. And that's a pretty hectic thing, and it also means that you can't really dig down and have deep relationships with kids if you're running from one school to another. Those are difficult. Getting the credentials to be one of those student services folks has had its challenges. The Department of Public Instruction has recently added a program. There are now some online ways for people to get that certification. So we're hoping that that is going to help schools identify people who can fill these positions.
What needs to change either policy or funding-wise in this area to make these professionals more accessible to students?
Well, I think it's funding, more funding to attract people into these positions. It's funding to, make it easier for people to get into the training programs and get through them, especially for individuals who are coming from disadvantaged communities. They often have a lot of other pressures on them that interfere with their being able to finish the coursework. So those are important. And, these individuals are important, but also what has really been changing a lot for us in a positive way in the recent years is that schools are starting school mental health programs where they are providing, they have community, providers come into the school and provide therapy sessions for kids who need it. They do what we call mental health navigation. They help kids get to providers outside of the school, and they do other kinds of group work with kids. I really think the school is an important place for us to think about the different ways that we can support kids and support them earlier so that they don't get into longer-term mental illness that carries over into adulthood.
Well, they spend so much of their time in school.
Right.
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 In terms of positives coming out of the pandemic, a lot of people talk about new flexibilities around telehealth. Mm-hmm. How has telehealth been of benefit to schools?
Telehealth has been helpful. It seems to work best with teens or kids who are a little older. The younger kids don't really focus so well on it, but there has been some increase in the use of telehealth, and so you can get a therapist from a different community working with kids at their school site, and that's been helpful.
Are there some barriers to seeing telehealth expanded? Are there some concerns that those flexibilities may go away?
There are some concerns about that. You know, the majority of kids who are getting mental health services at school, so many of them are on Medicaid. You know, one in three kids in Wisconsin is on Medicaid. And Medicaid is standing firm, the national program is standing firm in allowing telehealth to continue. So, and our Wisconsin Medicaid program was amazing at the beginning of the pandemic in terms of adjusting policies in that in order for us to use telehealth. So we think it's going to continue in some important ways and be good for some kids, but we still need to make space for those kids who don't really don't respond well to telehealth or their families aren't really interested in them doing it.
Has broadband been a concern in terms of access to telehealth in some parts of the state?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's easier in some parts of the state than other. But it's not always rural. You know, the issues related to telehealth are also the equipment you have available. And there are many urban kids and families who don't have the equipment that can take advantage of it.
So more room for improvement there as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. A recent survey of teens from Mental Health America from just this past August say teens want more mental health services in schools. You touched on that a little bit. 7 in 10 teens agree that schools should teach more about mental health. 68% want their school to share information about treatments. Do schools in Wisconsin currently have the capacity to kind of ramp up more mental health supports, do you think?
Well, we... excuse me. There have been increases in terms of the funding for schools to do this. Unfortunately, most of the funding that schools are using to expand their mental health programs have been grant funded or other time limited funding.
One time
funding. What we would really like to see is that there is more stable ongoing funding. And Governor Evers has recommended that recently and as his budget is coming up. And the Department of Public Instruction is behind that, too.
Are other states doing a better job in terms of kind of investing, or did they already have a better infrastructure for mental health than Wisconsin?
Well, I think there are states that are doing more than we are. I think we have a lot of energy. We have the Coalition to Expand School-Based Mental Health that's been convening people for 6-7 years now and bringing national experts to the state. We have investments from the national school mental health programs that are helping schools do that. So with more funding, I think we can do more. When we look just at the states around us, getting back to those ratios that you were talking about in terms of student services folks, we're doing better than some. We're not, you know, out in front, but we're doing better than some. And we have a lot of investment, a lot of excitement, I think, around student mental health. We need that ongoing funding and more support for educators.
We've been talking a little bit about what youth actually have to say. There is some evidence around peer-to-peer support, right, that can be beneficial for teens and other age groups. Can you talk a little bit about what the research says on peer-to-peer support in mental health?
There's new research that shows that peer relationships at age 3 are important.
Age 3, even?
Yeah. It starts that early. So, and we are very concerned about what's happening with kids in preschools. We want to be able to support more educators to know how to work with kids in positive ways to help them translate their behaviors into what they really are, which is what kids are trying to communicate with us. So peer interaction starts very early. We know that for teens, quality peer relationships can be more important than anything in their lives.
Even that school support professional in terms of a
yes.
child's mental health?
Even
Why
and,
is that?
And even more than parents. It's a bit a function of adolescence and kids trying to, you know, understand themselves, support their friends. I mean, that's what we heard so much from students is that they want to have the tools and the skills to support their friends who need help. We also found that a lot of students, high school students, are really not aware of what's available to them already. So we have some education to do around that.
Wisconsin has been growing the number of peer-led mental health support groups, right? I mean, we're showing a map mm-hmm. of the number of schools right now that have those groups. Tell us, what are those groups?
So there, we have about 135 groups that we've identified so far, and we're looking to identify more because we think that there are more that have been growing. The largest number are
youth-led peer groups.
They're youth-led peer groups, and it's a suicide program. Sources of Strength is a suicide prevention program that really goes beyond suicide prevention. It really is helping kids think about positive interactions with their peers and creating a good school climate, because we know that belonging is so important to kids, especially high school kids. So there are that, and then there's Hope Squad, there's NAMI, Raise Your Voice. So these programs allow youth an opportunity to be in the lead in terms of promoting good mental health and thinking about what they can do at their school to improve it.
Well, and the governor just announced an increase in funding for peer-to-peer suicide prevention grants and training in his next proposed budget. How will that increase and affect the number of these groups across the state?
It will definitely increase. There was an increase in the last budget, but it wasn't enough to really cover what the costs are to bring up one of these programs. So in these programs, you need time for people for school staff to participate in it. The Sources of Strength program. It encourages you to have other adults from the community, volunteers involved in the program, and then there are the costs of having meetings and fun activities for kids, because it's also about that. It's about teaching, learning about mental health, but also creating a good school climate.
When you look at Wisconsin's data on youth mental health, child mental health, what are the disparities in that data that you are most concerned about?
Well, we are very concerned, as we talked about a little bit earlier, that the children from disadvantaged communities are not able to access mental health as much. We know that a very big concern of ours is that black youth are suiciding at a higher rate than they were before. It's growing significantly.
What are the reasons for that?
Well, again, we think that Wisconsin is not different than the national norm. We think it's the pressures on those families,
and that it's increasing.
Yes, and I've been working in this school mental health area for a while now, and when I first started out, I used to think that, well, the kids that are going to be identified are the kids who are really causing a disruption in class. You know, they're throwing things, they're throwing chairs. But what I hear mostly now is that the teachers are often concerned about the kids who are withdrawn. And so we're not always recognizing kids who are withdrawn. And with black boys in particular, we're not recognizing the symptoms, the warning signs of that. So again, it's these connections, getting connections, having them have peers or other teachers or other school staff they can reach out to for help that are really important.
You mentioned Wisconsin in many areas looking very similar to other states in terms of children's mental health. But Wisconsin has ranked poorly in the 2022 American School Mental Health Report Card by the Hopeful Futures Campaign. Mm-hmm. The report card compares state progress across 8 policy areas, and they're just looking at policy areas. Wisconsin showed little to no progress or only some progress in 75% of the policy areas, including school-based mental health professionals, staff training, funding supports, and well-being checks for students. Do you think that's a wake-up call for Wisconsin?
These are definitely areas that we want to look at, especially screening for mental health conditions.
Those well-being checks?
Those well-being mm-hmm. checks are important. I will say that national report relied a lot on legislation, statutes that are in place. We have a lot of activity going on that is not statutorily based, but we do think that mental health screening is really important, and more training for teachers is important. That's part of the reasons we wanted to work on the mental health curriculum, because we wanted to put that in the hands of more teachers, and we actually created it so it would become part of the health standards at school instead of its own set of standards that are off on the side that might not get attention. you know, so now it's whoever the health teacher is in school can teach these mental health classes.
Following our November elections, which we've been talking a lot about here at Wisconsin, and we head into that biennial budget time. If you had top three priorities for youth and children's mental health, what would you like to see in that biennial budget?
Well, I would like to increase student services funding
for those professionals.
For those professionals, to create some ongoing funding for the other mental health navigation and treatments supports that we talked about earlier, and the extension, continuation, and increase to the child care tax credit. So we know that those dollars are really important to these families that are struggling to get by, and that's really important. You know, the Centers for Disease Control actually shows that the child tax credit makes a difference in terms of kids' behaviors.
So much of what's occurring now in schools has become politicized even more so after the pandemic, and you do see some parents questioning school time spent on things like social-emotional learning. What do you think is causing that, and what would you like to say to parents about what is and what is not social-emotional learning and why it might need to happen in your school?
Well, you know, when you break down the what's behind social-emotional learning, it's really a lot about helping kids understand how to make and keep relationships. This is one of the things we looked at. We saw that on a national level, actually, our kids, this is an area where our kids are not doing as well as nationally. And these relationships are important for being able to interact with peers, which, as we said, is really important, and also for building a trusting relationship with teachers, and so that your head is open to learn. And when you break those things down, you know, you take away that term, social emotional learning. We've asked parents, do you want your kids to be able to have productive relationships with other people that prepare them for adulthood and for careers? Parents are usually in support of that. And so those are really important issues that we need to fund and give space for that to happen at school.
Do you think that's been unnecessarily politicized then?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what happens if we don't address student health, mental health needs? What are the consequences for kind of just going down the same old path that we have?
Well, the consequences are that fewer kids will get treatment. Because as you quoted earlier, the vast majority of kids who get mental health treatment get it at school. So if we don't address it there, kids won't get treatment, and it's more likely that they will develop long-term mental illness that will follow them into adulthood and compromise their whole ability to carry on their best life and to be productive citizens.
Is now the time to act?
Definitely. We can't wait. You know, there's a lot of attention right now to the mental health professional shortage. That is important. But, you know, the reason that our office is adopting this strategy around social connectedness of youth is we can't wait. We have to approach this on kid time. And kid time is right now. We need to help kids now to get the support that they need. And the school is a great place for this to happen because we can do a number of different things with kids at school. When they get treatment at school, they can practice their improvement strategies right there, and they can help their friends.
Well, we want to make sure we end with giving people a place to look for resources. On the slide, we see the Wisconsin Hope Line, the Teen Line, Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, also resources available at the Office of Children's Mental Health. What would you like people to remember about this crisis and what needs to happen next?
Well, I would like them to remember that we can make a difference, that investment in school mental health makes a difference, and that we each can make a difference in a kid's life. You know, data shows that as little as a 40-second interaction with another person can create a connection that's important. And we haven't talked here today much about parents, but parents do. Although kids listen to their friends and talk to their friends, parents are really important. And I always like to end with saying that if parents need to listen to their kids, make it 5 minutes a day, just an open channel listening. Turn your screen off. Mom and dad, turn your screen off, not just kids, turn the screens off, but have that open conversation so that you can hear what's going on with your kids and you have that channel of communication ready should your child come up against some tough times that they need some support for. And then you can come to our office and our website and get lots of ideas for what's the next step and how to get some help.
Well, thank you very much for the conversation today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we highlight the issues and sit down with the decision makers who make a difference for all of us.
This program was brought to you from the Margaret Farrow Studio.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.